Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Money Member by Ram Goldar and Tirmas Zekas Baba Kama Daf Mem Gimel. The fourth parak Shor Shenagach. The fourth parak has been generously sponsored with Zechun Nishmas Rosh Hadvor Bas Aharon HaKohen Al Hasham. May your neshama have an aliyah. So the three daf we're going to focus on are one. The Gemara quoted a brisa teaching that damages to a woman who died before collecting are paid to her heirs. Since such payment should be awarded to the husband, Rabbi explained the brisa refers to a grusha. The Gemara asks, Grusha nami tifuk b'dmei vladus. A divorcee should also divide the value of the lost offspring with her former husband. Yet, the brisa taught that the husband is awarded the entire payment. Rav Papa answers, HaTorah ziksa d'mei vladus l'bal. The Torah awarded the value of the offspring to the husband, meaning the one from whom she conceived. Afil ba'al ha'beznus, even if he had relations with her out of wedlock and was not her husband. This is because the Torah used the term ba'al ha'isha, the husband of the woman, the word Baal implying relations. Pointing to Reish Lakish said, Shoshehemi says the Evich Loba Kavana. If an ox killed a slave unintentionally, where the ox is not killed, Patim Shoshim Shkalim, the owner is Patim from paying 30 Shkalim, because the Torah wrote, Kesav Shoshim Shkalim Yitenu Adnava Shor Yisakel. 30 Shkalim he shall pay its master, and the ox shall be stoned, implying that the two laws are interdependent. Rabbi said the same regarding kofar. Shor Shehemi's ben Chorin Shloba Kavana Patim Kofar. If an ox killed a free person unintentionally, he is pata from paying kofar. There too, the Torah juxtaposed the two laws, teaching that wherever the ox is not killed, the owner does not pay kofar. Rashi notes that this ruling disagrees with the Tan Rabbi Eliezer, who specifically exempted a tam from paying chetzi kofar for unintentional killing, as well as another brisa. Abai challenged Rabbah from a brisa, teaching that one who admits that his ox killed someone is liable, even though the ox is not killed, based on his admission. Rabbah answers that the brisa refers to paying damages for the person's death, not kofar. On the next Amud, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with both rulings. And pointing with you, Rabbah taught that where one's ox killed unintentionally, the owner does not pay kofar, but is still obligated to pay damages. Rabbah asked them, Yohaki isho shobu kavana api edim nishalom damim. If so, then one who killed unintentionally with his fire, according to witnesses who testified to such, should pay damages. Rashi explains that he's pater for intentional killing because of the principle of kamalei b'drabi minei. After the Gemara concedes that there is no source that one is not liable for damages for unintentional killing by fire, it explains that Rava was asking if one is liable for such damages. Do we say that damages are only paid for unintentional killing by an ox because the owner pays kofar for its intentional killing, whereas fire for which one does not pay kofar for killing intentionally with it would also not pay damages for unintentionally killing with it? Or do we say that just as one pays damages for an ox's unintentional killing, so too he pays for his fire's unintentional killing? The question is left unresolved. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara had quoted a brisa teaching that damages to a woman who died before collecting are paid to her heirs. Since such payments should be awarded to the husband, Rabbi explained the brisa refers to a grusha. The Gemara asks, Grusha nami tifuk b'dmei vladus. A divorcee should also divide the value of the lost offspring with her former husband. Yet, the brisa taught that the husband is awarded the entire payment. Rav Papa answers, HaTorah ziksa d'mei vladus l'bal. The Torah awarded the value of the offspring to the husband, meaning the one from whom she conceived. Afil ba'al ha'beznus, even if he had relations with her out of wedlock and was not her husband. This is because the Torah used the term ba'al ha'isha, the husband of the woman, the word ba'al implying relations. Pointing to Reish Lakish said, Shor Shehemi says the Evich Loba Kavana. If an ox killed a slave unintentionally, where the ox is not killed, Patim Shoshim Shkalim, the owner is Patim from paying 30 Shkalim, because the Torah wrote, Kesav Shoshim Shkalim Yitenu Adnava Shor Yisakel. 30 Shkalim he shall pay its master, and the ox shall be stoned, implying that the two laws are interdependent. Rabbi said the same regarding kofar. Shor Shehemi's ben Chorin Shloba Kavana Patim Kofar. If an ox killed a free person unintentionally, he is Patim from paying kofar. There too, the Torah juxtaposed the two laws, teaching that wherever the ox is not killed, the owner does not pay kofar. Rashi notes that this ruling disagrees with the Tan Rabbi Eliezer, who specifically exempted a tam from paying chetzi kofar for unintentional killing, as well as another brisa. Abai challenged Rabbi from a brisa, teaching that one who admits that his ox killed someone is liable, even though the ox is not killed, based on his admission. Rabbi answers that the brisa refers to paying damages for the person's death, not kofar. On the next Amud, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with both rulings. And pointing with you, Rabbi taught that where one's ox killed unintentionally, the owner does not pay kofar, but is still obligated to pay damages. Rabbi asked them, Yohaki isho shobu kavana api edim nishalom damim. If so, then one who killed unintentionally with his fire, according to witnesses who testified to such, should pay damages. Rashi explains that he's pater for intentional killing because of the principle of kamalei b'drabi minei. After the Gemara concedes that there is no source that one is not liable for damages for unintentional killing by fire, it explains that Rava was asking if one is liable for such damages. Do we say that damages are only paid for unintentional killing by an ox because the owner pays kofar for its intentional killing, whereas fire, for which one does not pay kofar for killing intentionally with it, would also not pay damages for unintentionally killing with it? Or do we say that just as one pays damages for an ox's unintentional killing, so too he pays for his fire's unintentional killing? The question is left unresolved. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Gimon. Our standard Siman is a magazine. So here goes. The Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Demei Vlados he received, finished reading that a shor that kills a slave or Ben Chorin without Kavana gets to live and his owner is Pater from paying Shloshim Shkalim and Kofar, and was engrossed in an article discussing whether damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire. Once again, slow motion. The Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine. That must mean we're in Daf Mem Gimel. The Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, which reminds us, Rapapa explains that Torah Zikza Dmei Vlados Rabal. The Torah awarded the value of the offspring to the husband, meaning the one from whom the woman conceived, Afil Ba'aleha Baznus, even if he had relations with her out of wedlock and was not her husband. This is because the Torah used the term Ba'ala Isha, the husband of the woman, the word Baal implying relations. So the Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, finished reading that a shor that kills a slave of Ben Chorin without Kavana gets to live, and his owner is Pater from paying Shoshim Shkalim and Kofar, which reminds us, Rish Lakish said, Shor Shehemi says the Evich Lobo Kavana, if an ox killed a slave unintentionally, where the ox is not killed, Pater Shoshim Shkalim, the owner is Pater from paying 30 Shkalim, because the Torah wrote, Kesev Shoshim Shkalim Yitin Adunav Vashor Yisakel, 30 Shkalim he shall pay its master, and the ox shall be stoned, implying that the two laws are interdependent. Rabba said the same regarding kofar. Shor Shehemis ben Chorin Shloba Kavana Patma Kofar. If an ox killed a free person unintentionally, he is exempt from paying kofar. There too, the Torah juxtaposed the two laws, teaching that wherever the ox is not killed, the owner does not pay kofar. So the Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, finished reading that a shor that kills a slave of Ben Chorin without Kavana gets to live, and his owner is Pater from paying Shloshim Shkalim and kofar, and was engrossed in an article discussing whether damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire. So once again, the Baal who bought a subscription to Nezikin magazine with some of the Dmei Vlados he received, finished reading that a shor that kills a slave of Ben Chorin without Kavana gets to live, and his owner is Pater from paying Shoshim Shkalim and kofar, and was engrossed in an article discussing whether damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazar. Daf Lamates. So the Siman Daf Lamates is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more in Daf Lamates, letter. The mailman who was appointed as an apitropos for an orphan who had a violent ox, which reminds the Gemara discusses if damages of an incompetent person's muad are collected from him or his apitropos. So the mailman who was appointed as an apitropos for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a muad, which reminds us in a braisa about an owner who became incompetent or traveled abroad. Sumko said, it remains in its tum state, adshi idubo b'nei balim, until they testify about it before the owners. But the Chachamim say we appoint an apitropos and accept testimony about the oxen in his presence. If the owner returns to competency, Sumka says, Chazot Musa, it returns to its tum state. But Rav Yossi says, Harbuch Cheskaso, it remains in its current muad state. Since Simcha is made clear in the second case that the ox did become a muad, the Gemara reinterprets his statement in the first case, Hari Hubit Mimuso. It remains in its entirety, meaning we do not reduce his ownership of it by collecting half damages from its body. So the mailman who was appointed as an apitropos for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a muad, was notified that because he only did a shmir b'chusa, he was chayv chasi nezek, because of tzad tamus bim koma omedes, which reminds us, in a brice Rabbi Yaakov said that the ox of an incompetent person pays half damages. Rav explains the case is a muad, which he guarded with a shmir b'chusa, an inferior guarding. Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yudu holds on Daf Mem Hey, Tzad Tamus Bim Koma Omedes, the Tam portion of a Muad remains in its place, such that half of the full payment retains the halakas of Tam. He further holds like Rabbi Yudu there, that although an inferior guarding does not exempt a Tam from half damages, it does exempt a Muad from full damages. Daf Mem. So the Siman Daf Mem relates to Mayim, water, and we use a pool. So here goes. The apotropa is watching Yisomim in the pool. Pool. That must be on Daf Mem, Mayim. The apotropa is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing. They're not chayiv and kofir, which reminds us, a brisa teaches where an apotropa was appointed over orphan's oxen, kofir is not paid for a mood killing someone. This time holds kufr kapara, kofir payment is an atonement, and orphans who are minors need no atonement. The Gemara brings machlokas regarding whose value is paid in kofir, the value of the nizak or the mazik. So the apotropa is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayiv and kofir, was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tum, discovered the shore was a muad, indicating Rishus Einem Mishana, which reminds us, it was Tanna Braisa, Shal Becheskas tum, if one borrowed an ox with the assumption it was a tum, Venimsa muad, and it was found to be a muad, the owner pays half damages and the borrower pays half damages. The borrower pays half because he accepted it as a tum, and the second half is the owner's responsibility for not informing the borrower. The Gemara clarifies the cases where the borrower discerned initially the animal's violent nature. So the apotropa is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing. They're not chayv and kofir. Was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tum discover the shore was a muad, indicating Rishus Einem Mishana. While another ox the lifeguard borrowed that became a muad in his Rishus reverted to becoming a tum when returned to the owner. Which reminds us, in the brisa I just mentioned, the animal remained a muad when it was borrowed, indicating the Tana holds Rishus Einem Mishana. The change in Rishus does not change the ox's status. The Gemara asks that the brisa's second case indicates the opposite. If it became muad in the borrower's house and he returned to the owner pays half damages and the borrower is completely exempt. This proves the animal reverts to tum status when it changes to the owner's rishus. Rabbi Yochanan says the prices are incompatible and reflect two different opinions. Two more answers are brought. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Siman Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph, ma. The grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer short tum became a muad after the three people had injured all died. After the third goring, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how an ox can become a muad to kill people before being stoned. Since the tum is killed, how can it become a muad to kill people? Seven answers are offered and four remain, one being Kagon Shesikin L'Shlosha B'nei Adam, where it mortally injured three people who died after the third goring, rendering the ox a muad then and obligating its owner in kofir. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that a killer short tum became a muad after the three people had injured all died, after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely asr bahana, which reminds us of Bryce to discuss the laws of a shoha niskal, a condemned ox. Since it's stoned to death, it's obvious that it cannot be eaten, lacking shechita. So why does the Torah need to write lo ya'achil es psaro? Its flesh shall not be eaten. It teaches shim shechatu l'achar shenigmar dino, if he shechted it after its sentence was finalized, but before it was stoned, asr ba'achila, it's forbidden in consumption. We learn from Baal Shor Naki that the shor is also asr bahana. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer short tum became a muad after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely asr bahana, got some good news that she didn't have to pay chatzi kofir when another short tum of hers intended to kill an animal and inadvertently killed a Jew, which reminds us, in a brisa it was taught, the pasuk says, Ubal Shor Naki, and the ox's owner is absolved from payment, which Rabbi Eliezer explains, Naki Mechatzi Kofer, the owner of a tum is absolved from paying half kofer. Rabbi Eliezer gave different explanations of the case, one being where the ox intended to kill an animal or Gentile, and inadvertently killed a Jew, for which it's not killed, but would pay kofer. Daf Mem Beis. So the Siman Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. When the ox running away from the mobsters, that must mean we're in Daf Membeis. When the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, which reminds us of Yossi Guli Darshan's Baal Shor Naki to teach Naki Midmei Vlados. He's absolved from paying for offspring lost when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. So when the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, which reminds us, in another brisa, Rabbi Akiva Darshan's Baal Shor Naki to teach Naki Midmei Evet, he's absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his oxes killing a slave. So when the ox running away from the mobsters who are trying to steal it, charged into a pregnant woman killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, the owner was putter on the fetus and the slave, and paid kofar for the woman to her yorshim, not her husband. Which reminds us, in a brisa it was taught, the pasuk says, the hamis ish o isha, and it killed a man or woman, indicating a comparison between the two. Rabbi Akiva explains that since we already know from elsewhere that kofar is paid for killing a woman, the pasuk is teaching ma ish nezakav liyorshav, just as regarding a man, his damage payments are given to his heirs if he dies before they're paid, af isha nezakav liyorshav, so too regarding a woman, her damage payments are given to her heirs, not her husband. All right, so now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step do you want the Rebbe Akiva Darshans from Baal HaShor Naki to teach Naki Mindmei Evid? He's absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his ox killing a slave. That's on Daf Membeis. Good. Number two, which of the one that orphans are not chayv and kofar, and the Gemara brings a machlokas how kofar is evaluated, according to the value of the nizuk or the mazik? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number three, which Daf have a question of damages are paid for unintentionally killing by fire? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number four, which of the one that Rabbi Yossi Aglili darshans from Baal HaShor Naki to teach Naki Midmei Vrados? He's absolved from paying for offspring lost when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. That's on Daf Membeis. Good. Number five, which of the one that a non-Jew whose short tum damages a Jew's ox has to pay, whereas when a Jew's ox damages a non-Jew's ox, the Jew does not have to pay? That's on Daf Amad Ches. Good. Number six, which of the one the Torah awarded to Mevladus to the Baal, even if he had relations with a woman out of wedlock? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number seven, which Daf do we discuss why an ox that became a mood in the borrower's reshus becomes a tum when returned to the owner? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number eight, which Daf do we discuss how an ox can become a mood to kill people before being stoned, when even as a tum it's stoned if it kills someone? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number nine, which Daf do we see that Kosh Baruch Hu does not withhold schar from any creature, even reward for fine speech, which we learn from Lot's daughters? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 10, which of the one, if an ox killed an Eved or Ben Chorin without Kavana, it lives, and one is not a Chayv Shloshim Shkalim and Kofar? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhart from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.